Welcome to Coffee with the Sarlows. We are your hosts of the show, Karen and Kelly Sarlo. Whether you're struggling with grief or you just need answers, we connect you with spirit to find relief, clarity, and direction in life. We can help you move forward.
Hi, Kelly.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm happy. How are you?
Hey, what's making you happy?
Winston smells good. He's super cuddly. The caffeine's hitting right today. Like, you name it.
All of that's lovely, eh? I picked a name, and the name that I found on the internet, because of course we don't name our clients and give away confidentiality, is Halta.
Halta, okay.
And I can't for the life of me remember what nationality that is from now, because I picked it a while ago, but I thought it was actually quite beautiful, and I'm really having fun picking names from different cultures.
Cool.
Okay, so this Halta is a female, and she's a client who asks me specifically to connect to her mom. And when her mom starts talking to me, she says, Halta will know some things about me. She won't be able to confirm everything. And I said, okay, why is that? And her mom says, because I gave her up for adoption.
Hmm.
And she said, so she knows a little bit from foster parents, but she doesn't know very much, actually. And so I'm going to give you as many validations as I can in that area, but there's going to be some other things she won't be able to validate. So I said to Halta, hold up. I said, your mom's saying that she gave you up for adoption. Is that correct? And she goes, oh, yeah. She goes, that's good. She goes, that's my mom's opening? And I said, yeah. She goes, okay. She says, that's big for me, Karen.
That's a let's not beat around the bush situation. Yeah,
that's right. And she goes, that makes me feel confident that you've got my mom. She says, so I feel like I can relax. And it's the first thing at the beginning of the session. And I said, so are you a big believer in what I do? No. She says, I'm not. She said, it's something I thought I would try. Her mom says to me, damn right, she thinks it's her only way to try to reach me. What other choices has she got? And I said, what? And she goes, well, I'm dead. She goes, and she doesn't know whether I'm dead or not.
Hmm.
And so she's reaching out to a psychic medium, hoping that somehow, some way through the conversation, you're going to say something, either directly or indirectly, that are going to give her that information. But she can't validate whether I'm past or I'm not. But she has her own suspicions giving our age, her age and mine. And she said, so I'm just here to begin by saying that I am passed over. And she said, but I want to say with that I was an alcoholic when I was alive. And that is something she has been told by the foster parents repeatedly, was that her mother was an alcoholic and was forced to give her up for adoption. And so I say this to her, and she confirms. And she confirms being in foster homes and that they had very little information about her mom, but that was the key thing that was repeated to her was her mother's alcoholism. And I also tell her that her mom's passed. And I said, those things go together for me, because if one's correct, then the other one is. And she goes, oh, I understand what you're doing. She says, because that's the best way that you can do it. And I said, that's right. That's my procedure. And she goes, okay. She goes, I'll take all of that in, Karen. She says, I appreciate it. Just you keep going. What else does my mom want to say? So then her mom says to me, I became an alcoholic at the age of 9. And she said, thanks to my father.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, because there's no way at 9 years old that I was interested in alcohol. And she said, my father gave me alcohol when his friends were coming over, his guy friends, because he thought that it was funny. He thought it was cute to watch this little 9-year-old child get drunk. and trip and fall and dance and sing and do anything they said that she had to do for fun. He thought it was funny.
Do we need any specific disclaimers for this show?
That's as far as this goes.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
I will relax my butt muscles.
Yeah, yeah. So it goes to the alcoholism and that type of abuse. And so she says, I want to say that I started at 9 years old and that this wasn't something that I did on my own and that this was something that was forced upon me, tricked into. And she said, and that I was expected to do, like I had no other choice. And she said, so by the time that I become a teenager, like I am solidly alcoholic, not functioning, not doing well. And I got pregnant young. And she said, there was also a belief for my parents that I was not allowed to have an abortion. Mm-hmm. And she said, so I was like all through my life was dictated and controlled. My body was not my own body at any point in my life. And so I say this to her, like to my client, and she says, oh my God, I was never told that. And her mother comes in and says, no, that's exactly why I'm making sure that I'm telling you this. Mm-hmm. Because you've been given a story by the system. And she kept referring to the foster parents as the system. Like where there were untruths, half-truths, no truths, and assumptions made. And then that the foster families pass this on from foster family to foster family.
Right.
So she goes along and she gets told a story about her mother that isn't totally true. And that there's just there's a thread of it. And her mother wants her to know exactly what that thread is and also the cause of it. Because that is significant. She wants her daughter to understand, I didn't choose that life and I wasn't irresponsible. And that was one of the key things that she was made to believe, that her mother was this young woman who was promiscuous, didn't value her body, was immature, was alcoholic by her own choice, bad behavior, like just all of these things that she had a sense of control over. The foster parents and the community wanted that story told. And her mother came through and said, that story wasn't true in the least. And I want my daughter to know that. It's important to me because I'm standing here today hoping that my daughter, when she hears this truth, is going to be able to understand herself better, understand the system better. And maybe she's here to actually open up her mind and her heart to a relationship with me, even if it's, and she want like she wants that, her mother wants it, including for the whole hour that we have together. She goes, if that's all I have with my daughter is this hour with you, Karen, where she's willing to really hear who I was and to listen to the fact that I came to this life this way. And that she got taken away from me and put into foster care because of where I was at in life, that it wasn't that I didn't love her. Mm-hmm. It wasn't that she wasn't wanted. It wasn't that she wasn't good enough. It wasn't certain things that she has been led to believe. Her mom explains that it's really important to tell her this about her grandfather giving her mother alcohol because her daughter has since reconnected with her family. And she's, when I tell her that, she goes, oh, geez, you really have my mom. She said, absolutely, I have. It's been just about a year or so. And she says that I've reconnected with them. And she says, and I've been asking lots of questions about my mom and how she, like what happened around my birth. She says, I've been just asking loads of things. And she says they'll answer certain questions and they won't answer others. And her mom is coming through to make sure that her daughter understands the truth because she's now in connection to the grandfather and he won't tell the truth about giving her mom alcohol. he won't tell the truth around any of that.
So this woman split from her family then, because this daughter came in and said, I don't know if my mom is dead or alive.
Yeah.
Even though she's reconnected with the biological grandparents.
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
Yes. So now she's, and she's hearing a very convoluted story that's very convenient for her grandparents to tell.
Mm-hmm.
and that others are just colluding.
Mm-hmm.
And she's lost. So she's like, okay, I'm hearing all of this and I don't know the truth, but it's fitting with what the foster parents are telling.
Right.
And then somebody decides, well, the only way that you're ever going to know is if you talk to your mother. And it's like, well, I don't know if it can even happen. I don't know where she is. I don't know if she's alive or dead. I don't know how to find her. And that's when somebody says, well, if you talk to a psychic medium, maybe you could talk direct to your mother. Mm-hmm. And if you get enough validations to believe that it's actually her, then you could sit down and believe what she's telling you. And that's where she decides, okay, I'm going to give that a try and see what happens and how that goes. And her mother shows up and is able to give her enough information. And we'll go on further in a second about that. So that she is able to trust the information about her mother's past. And then she says to her daughter, she says, I know that you've been through the foster care system yourself. And my client sits there and goes, I have. She goes, oh boy. She goes, okay. She says, this is really good, Karen. I'm in. She goes, Mom is confirming a ton of things.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, so you just have at it. I'm all freaking ears. This is what I'm here for. And I said, oh, it's going to sound almost like a monologue. And she goes, yep. But I don't want you to think I'm putting you on the spot, but I really am here to hear Mom talk. And so then her mom says to me, she went through the foster care system, her daughter, and she says she's been to several foster care homes. Nobody has ever forced alcohol on her. Nobody has ever sexually abused her. And she gives some very specific things to say.
Mm-hmm.
And her daughter sits there very quickly and says to me, correct, correct. And we move through some of those things in a very quick kind of fashion. And I had a pen and paper in front of me and I would write sexual abuse, no. Verbal abuse, no. Or whatever it was, right? Mm-hmm. No alcohol abuse, no. And I would show it to her on the page, and she was recording the session, so she has that. And then her mom says that as she went from home to home, pardon me, Kelly, I just made one mistake. She went through most of her foster care life with no abuse, period. It was in the last home that there was alcohol abuse.
But not forced on her.
But not forced on her. Yes.
Yeah. That,
okay.
You didn't mess that up.
Oh, I didn't? Okay, good. Okay, thank you. There's so many details.
Yeah, you just said not forced on her.
Okay. So there was alcohol abuse in the last home by both parents.
Mm-hmm.
And she was never taken out of that home. She ended up leaving that home on her own as a young adult. And Mom says to her on the other side, isn't that interesting that she's taken away from me for alcohol because I had alcohol abuse, but I was a single woman. They don't take her away from the couple. It's a male and female, mother and a father,
mm-hmm.
that both are alcoholics, but somehow the foster system thought that was okay to leave her because it was a male-female family.
Well, and I mean, I'm sure they're hiding it.
Okay. But that conversation came up and the mom and daughter got to have that conversation to say, yeah, that's not fair. And I think that's important to say because they got to have that conversation about the unfairness of that.
Mm-hmm.
Not that they can change that situation, but they got to sit together and be heard about it. They got to sit together and have the same feelings together. And they got to have that moment, or whatever you want to call it, of connection to each other. Not just because they went through the same thing, but that, well, maybe because they went through the same thing too. I should say that. and that they actually got to talk about it. And then she says, and I know that after that home, that you're the one that left. You hit a particular age and you were able to go off to go to, I think she went to work. It wasn't a school situation, like a college or a university thing. I think she went into the workforce right away and went to college later in life after she was married. And she says to me, that's true. She says, oh my God. She said, Karen, you're actually telling me that my mom has followed along in my life. So wait a minute. Did my mom know this when she was alive? And I said, no, honey, we're channeling dead mom. Dead mom can give you the information about your whole life. And she goes, oh, right. Okay. And you can see where she's trying to place how her mom knew all of this stuff.
Well, that's one of the questions we get a lot on Instagram, right? Of people saying like, well, you know, are they always with you? Because time is not a thing on the other side, past, present, and future are all one. And so even though mom, biological mom, might have been alive for most of this woman's life, when biological mom dies, she has the ability with time as an energy now to actually be there throughout her entire life of her daughter, right? And be with her throughout that.
I love that you explained that, because we had that conversation so that she could understand what was going on with a live mom and dead mom.
Yeah, and I think that's why we can feel someone's presence, even if they are alive doing their own thing, because on some other continuum of time, they are with us.
Right. And we had this really beautiful conversation between me, client, and mom that's passed over about that connection. And my client says to me how important it is for her to hear that today and how happy that makes her feel now. And then her mom says, okay, I'd like to say a couple of things. It's getting near the end of the session. I want her to know that I know that she has children. And I said, do you want to say anything about them? And she says, yes, she has one autistic son. And she says, and two daughters, and both daughters are not autistic. And that she also is married and has had all three children with her partner, and that life is turning out actually extremely well for her, and that she's very much about process, that her whole personality is that she likes to slow things down, she doesn't like rushing, she likes going through process through things, and that that means that she keeps a good level of anxiety, it doesn't escalate because she likes to problem solve, and including in her problem solving is getting in touch with her own intuition. And when I say that final piece to her, the client says to me, oh my God, Karen, she says, I know we're out of time, but this is more than I could have hoped for. She said, you are validating so many things about my mom's life. She says, you've given me a healthy perspective of who my mom was that really enriches who I feel I am now. And she says, I can sit here and know that my mom was put into a situation that was beyond her own control because of everybody else's beliefs and wants about what they wanted in life. And she was just, you know, not considered.
Used.
Yeah. And she goes, and I am sad about that. And she says, and I will grieve that now. She says, I need time outside of the session to process that, but I will. And she says, and now I really feel connected to my mom. Mm-hmm. So she says, now I want to talk to her all the time. She goes, so can I do that? And I said, absolutely, you can do that. She goes, oh, I don't have to call you and have it just go through you. And I said, oh my goodness, sweetheart, absolutely, you can do it on your own. Without a doubt that you can. And I said, your mother is thrilled that you want to. So just begin by conversations, just regular conversations as you go through the day.
Out loud in your head.
Yeah. And I said, the last thing that your mom is showing me is a rainbow. And she goes, rainbow? She goes, what for? And I said, I haven't got a clue. I said, you can figure that out. Time is done. I got to go. It's a rainbow. And no, she says, no, I want to tell you about the rainbow. She says, I just thought my mom maybe had more knowledge about it. And I said, well, I'm out of time. I don't know if she does or not. What would you like to share? And she goes, well, rainbows are my thing. She says, I'm always looking for them. She says, and I just have little fun things in my car hanging from my little mirror. And she says, I just have rainbows everywhere. She says, so it just indicates to me that my mom's with me everywhere because she's picked rainbows and I have them in my bathroom and on my bathrobe. And she says, it's just a fun thing to think about that pretty much everywhere I go, I connect to a rainbow in some kind of way or I carry them with me. And she says, that's just really nice to know that my mom picked that because it's such a strong thing in my life.
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
I love this connection. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening to Coffee with the Sarlos. If you enjoyed the show today, please be sure to subscribe on your podcast platform and leave a review. New shows will air every other Saturday.